From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live! And now, Jimmy Kimmel!
As you may know, maybe you don't know, opening arguments began this morning in the people of the state of New York versus Donald Jessica Trump, the city that never sleeps versus the defendant who keeps nodding off during the trial. He was, the defendant was very defensive this morning. He was in all caps mode and then some. He posted witch hunt. He posted election interference, little bursts of lunacy like a crazy man yelling at no one on a street corner. The prosecution said Trump orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 election and tried to cover it up by lying in his business records over and over and over again, three overs. The defense had a different perspective. Trump's lawyer said President Trump is innocent. Trump did not commit any crimes, which is, he's a lawyer and he's funny. That's impressive. Team Trump also says there's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election, and there's nothing wrong with playing hide the mushroom with the star of the movie Hot Shower 6. Trump's defense basically seems to add up to, even if I did commit these crimes, they're not really crimes.
If a lawyer puts in a bill or an invoice, and you pay the bill, and in the book, it's a little line. That's a very small little line. I don't know if you can even write more than two words. It's not like you could tell a life story. They marked it down to a legal expense. This is what I got indicted over.
Right. That makes no sense. That's like a bank robber going, I went into the bank, I took out money, I came out of the bank with the money. Millions of people do that every day. Now somehow I'm a criminal? He left something key. Trump's lawyers made it clear today they're going to continue to deny that he had sex with Stormy Daniels, which, if I was prosecuting this case, I could get him to admit that in 1 second. All you have to do is say, clearly, Mr. Trump was not attractive, famous, or wealthy enough to entice such a desirable adult film star. He'd jump up on his hands and knees and show you every position they did it in. And while the case itself, obviously this is important, this is the first time we've ever seen a former president up on criminal charges. What resonates most, from a historical perspective at least, was this.
I'm hearing from credible sources who know what's going on in the courtroom. And what I'm hearing is that, take it for what it's worth, but that Donald Trump is actually farting in the courtroom.
Just when you think the insane-o-meter has topped out, Donald Trump adds farting to his list of atrocities. This is, I mean, we're in uncharted territory here. Of course, we don't know for sure that Trump was the one farting in court, so it would not be right for me to state that he was. So I cannot in good conscience report that Trump was pumping gas like a Barstow Texaco, but I can report... to borrow a phrase he likes to use when spreading rumors, many people were saying Trump was farting in court. And not just saying it, having a lot of fun with it. This was trending on Twitter, odor in the court, as was Trump stinks. There are many fun little nuggets. We had some fun. We gave the jury gas masks in the courtroom sketch. Just to be safe, we drew some stink lines behind him. And again, here's the thing. There's no way to prove Donald Trump was the one who dealt it. So please, don't repost this video with a dumb caption like Julius Squeezer or the shard of the deal or you have the right to remain silent but deadly. Because we don't know if any of this is true. You can't call him Gasolini. The only evidence we have that Trump has been known to publicly admit is what we've seen in old video footage like this.
My military guy's up here. Of course, excuse me.
Again, please, I'm begging you, don't post that out of context. No. Because it's the kind of clip, dumb, that could go viral and really make Trump upset. Videos like this,
Like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV.
He will not like these, so please do not spread clips like, well, this one around.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Because, listen, these are, none of these clips prove anything. And to give them a platform would be disrespectful and wrong. Meanwhile, his flatulency is said to be reaching levels of rage that are maxed out even for him. There was a story in Rolling Stone this weekend. He's been privately stewing over everything from the look of his courtroom sketches, which he doesn't like, to me. They wrote, the former and perhaps future president has voraciously monitored the media and entertainment coverage of the trial. He appeared especially upset with Jimmy Kimmel, the comedian and ABC late night host who's been commenting on the trial with relish. You know what relish makes you do?
You can blow up the windmills, you know, the windmills. Boom, boom, boom. Bing, that's the end of that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you get with relish, you know. He's also mad at Maggie Haberman of the New York Times because she was the first to report he was falling asleep in court. The good news is Maggie did not report Trump was falling asleep in court today. That duty fell to another reporter from the New York Times, Suzanne Craig, who wrote, Trump is struggling to stay awake. His eyes were closed for a short period. He was jolted awake when Todd Blanche's lawyer nudged him while sliding a note in front of him. Now, tomorrow, the judge will officially weigh in on whether L. Ron Hubbard violated that gag order he's been violating repeatedly all week on Truth Social and even in front of the courthouse.
The gag order has to come off. People are allowed to speak about me, and I have a gag order, just to show you how much more unfair it is. The gag order has to come off. I should be allowed to speak. And the second thing is I have to be released of a gag order. They've taken away my constitutional rights to speak, and that includes speaking to you. I have a lot to say to you, and I'm not allowed to say it.
That's right. The guy speaking to you is not allowed to speak to you. And that's just not America. Also tomorrow, we'll hear more testimony from the first witness in the case, which is Trump's old friend and former publisher of the National Enquirer. His name is David Pecker. Pecker helped Trump with what they call catch-and-kill schemes. This is where you pay someone for the exclusive rights to their story, and then once they tell it, you don't publish it, so no one ever sees it. Pecker did that for Trump. He also helped him plant stories about his enemies, which is very useful. For instance, let's say you're running against Ted Cruz, and he's gaining ground. All you have to do is have your buddy run a front-page story saying his father killed JFK, and off he goes scurrying to Cancun. You understand? And for all the talk Trump does about the media being against him, he has a lot of peckers out there. It has been a tough month for the MAGA media. The gang at Fox and Friends, for one, have been twisting themselves into pretzels trying to convince their viewers that this trial isn't just bad for Trump. It's a big problem for the presidency itself.
Look, the consequence of this case, it could be life-altering for the former president. And that's in the hands of these 12 people.
Does this set a precedent for other people who want to run for president? What if they've done something like this in the past and they could say, oh, well, they told me in eighth grade they wanted to run for president, so since they paid off a girl when they were 30 years old, then that was election interference.
Right.
What a strong hypothetical, that way. Even the other guys on the panel are like, I don't know what she is talking about. And by the way, Trump wasn't in the eighth grade. He was 60 years old. And then you have the wiffleheads like South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who is so eager to be Trump's running mate, she doesn't care if he committed a crime or not.
If Donald Trump is convicted in this trial, will you still support him in November?
If my choice is between Joe Biden and Donald Trump every single day of the week, yes, I will support Donald Trump. I have from the very beginning. He has been someone that I have supported since 2016 because I recognized that he didn't think he was better than anybody else in this country.
I guess it's contagious. Believe it or not, Donald Trump's flatulence wasn't the biggest release of the weekend. That honor went to Taylor Swift, who dropped a new double album called the Tortured Poets Department. It's already making history. Spotify announced that the new album broke a record with 300 million streams in a single day. That's more streams than your uncle with the enlarged prostate. That's a lot of streams. Taylor Swift is so big right now. It's like Michael Jackson level big. Yesterday I was driving, I saw this bumper sticker. It said Proud Swiftie, and I was confused for a minute. I was trying to figure out why the old guy driving around in a Ford Escort had a POW-themed Taylor Swift sticker on his car. Turns out Swifty was originally a nickname for veterans who served on Swift boats in Vietnam, but it's almost impossible to find that online. Even if you search Vietnam Swifty, you get the Twitter account for the largest community of Swifties in Vietnam. If you try Googling Swifty plus Swift boat, you get Taylor's Cruel Summer Cruise Swifties at Sea. They lost a lot of good tweens out there. And then I remember that former Secretary of State John Kerry was on a Swift boat, which was the center of a smear campaign about him when he ran for president. To make it even weirder, when John Kerry was on our show back in 2016, I asked him about Kanye West being a jerk to Taylor Swift at the MTV Awards. This was a story about it. They said, we have a feeling that Kerry might be a Swift fan. He strongly defended her, which would make John Kerry a Swifty who's also a Swifty. So congratulations to everybody, I think, right? Now, the biggest female recording artist of all time is not Taylor Swift yet, anyway. She is about to play at the biggest concert ever. On May 4th, Madonna is doing a free concert in Rio de Janeiro that's expected to draw more than 1 million fans to the concert. You know, Madonna is typically the biggest star wherever she goes, but in Mexico City this weekend, an even bigger star joined her on stage, and man, oh man, did this guy put on a show. Did that really happen, or are we all on ayahuasca right now?
No, it really happened.
Was it fun?
It was fun. It was great.
Was it crazy?
It was very crazy. Oh,
I heard it was hot, and there was no alcohol backstage, huh?
Oh, my God. She turned that heater on. It was so hot, so I was looking for a beer. No alcohol.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And not only did Guillermo get to dance with Madonna, she gave him a ride on her private jet afterwards. That's the wrong private jet clip. Please do not spread that around. Well, congratulations,
thank
Guillermo.
You.
That's
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Guillermo. Hey, we got a good show tonight.
Remember to watch Jimmy Kimmel Live weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central, only on ABC.